The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor May. Good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Manx Radio. Your chance to have your say because we're open line today. Anything in particular you'd like to raise, by all means do get in touch. Email studio at manxradio.com. Text or WhatsApp on 166 177 or call 66 13 68. What do you think about the Treasury Minister saying this additional fund from income tax is a result of economic growth and changes to the government sector last year? Over the last financial year, £21.3 million more from income tax than was expected came in. So what do you think? The Taxpayers Alliance, Manx Taxpayers Alliance, is saying that it should be given back to everybody. It's about £400 each if that happens. Would you like that money back if you're a taxpayer, or should it go to the common good? Any thoughts? Then call, and what would you do with the money? let's have a look. Anne was talking about, I was mentioning yesterday about politics is not just a spectator sport, and if it's something that you want, if you're involved in, then why don't you stand? Next year, big opportunity to stand for the Keys. And, this is 011, I won't be standing, as corruption is written into the statute law. There's no separation of powers. It's all collusion. I observed as a commissioner. I left to be an activist for the people, says Anne. Manx Utilities, electricity 29 per kilowatt hour when gas is 10p per kilowatt hour. And we haven't paid for the wind turbines yet, says Gaz. Well, you wonder, won't you? And we're trying to find out yesterday, a few people messaged to say, this King Ori statue that's going to be in St. John's, how did they know what he looks like? And who sat for the claying of the King Ori statue? Who would it be? Who would you like to be the representation of King Ori? He's going to be there with his sword held high. Well, the planning committee said it can anyway. We'll see whether Manx National Heritage, who complained they weren't asked about it, whether they object to it all. I just got back from a holiday in Donegal. We had, as we always do, had a wonderful time. The only spoiler is having to get the Manxman back from Belfast. Silly sailing timetable, and I found it uncomfortable and noisy. And if you try to sleep, there's a terrible vibration that constantly goes through. Gee, this is. If you're a Belfast traveller on the Manxman, what do you think of the timetables? And for that matter, a Dublin one as well. Thank you. I asked a Douglas councillor last year how he could get help for a retired elderly neighbours with their gardens. It was costing them between £150, £200 per session via private gardeners just to cut the grass and the shrubs back in Willesden. And that the letters that they sent out were disgusting and a bit threatening. The way they're worded, two MHKs were present and backed up what I was saying. It was a firm no at every alternative, and the option I was offering was to help them out from the councillor. Even if they paid a fee to the Parks Department to do it, it was flatly turned down, disappointed and a bit disgusted, says Joe. It's that time of year when the gardens are growing like bilio, and lots of people's gardens are frankly out of control, and many people aren't up to it, to be quite honest, either too elderly or too infirm to look after their own garden. And some people in local authority residences are getting snotty letters to say get it done when palpably they can't, and as that correspondent said, shelling out £150, £200 to pay people to do it. There must be a better way to do that. Volunteer gardeners, perhaps? Guerrilla gardeners to do that? Well, any thoughts, by all means, you can get in touch. While walking my dog down King Edward Road this morning, the weeds have gone. I can walk Shep on the pavement without having to dodge fast cars, says Billy. They've gone. I consider this is theft. I've overpaid as a taxpayer, and they've unilaterally decided to keep it instead of refunding it. I fear they've stolen my hard-earned money, and I would like it back in my pocket. This was Dr. Allinson was on Man in Line today, and he says the money will go back to the reserves. The Manx Taxpayers Alliance want the extra money to be refunded to taxpayers because £21.3 million that was not planned for came in tax. This is what the Treasury Minister had to say.
We already know that healthcare overspent by £15.3 million. So this extra revenue, whilst very welcome, will actually be used to put money back into reserves to pay the bills, to bring us back into a much more even budgetary situation going forward into the following years.
So in terms of that money going back into the reserves then, how will that be used in the future?
So what we've got is a medium-term financial plan. We know that for the last decade, we have been spending more money on services than we've been bringing in through revenue. But with the medium-term financial plan, the idea is to balance that out, to not draw down on reserves as much, to actually start building them up. And we've seen over the last couple of months that coming to fruition. Our reserves are now at £1.92 billion and invested very sensibly to grow that. We've also been working with all the various departments to bring them in budget. And in last year was a tight budget as well. So the only departments that unfortunately overspent last year was health, and we've obviously gone for a supplementary bid for that. Going forward for this year, and we're already working on the budget for next year, we're looking at controlling public spending. We're also looking at the government headcount, and we've recently announced the reduction in the government headcount. This is all responsible long-term economic planning rather than short-term fixes and gimmicks.
Now, I know there's always a bit of variation between an estimate and how much it actually comes in on the tax receipts, but just why was it so different to what was estimated?
Yeah, I mean, when we set out in the 24-25 budget, there was a huge amount of uncertainty, and there still is. What we've seen is really economic growth on the Isle of Man. We've seen increases in wages, both in the public and private sector. We've seen increasing employment as well, and that's led to an increase in income tax, particularly in terms of the personal tax.
I think he meant no, it's not. It's going to go into the reserves. Although it's good that the reserves are edging up to £2 billion, which is where they were a few years ago. Have you got any thoughts on this? Do you think you'd like the money back? Or do you think it should just be thrown into the pot? Has anybody else had a flyer from Manx Telecom, which I find quite aggressive, saying you should act now and actions required to secure fibre broadband? The area where I live on an estate has been identified as requiring special work to install fibre, which the household has to pay for the installation. It's not free, even though you're basically renting the service. You have to pay for the digging up, the laying of the fibre to your home. Thing is, you don't know how much it's going to cost until you agree to sign up for fibre. According to the person I talked to at Manx Telecom, it could be hundreds, possibly thousands. I think the whole procedure is aggressive, doesn't sit right with me. Why would you sign up for something without knowing how much it's going to cost? The flyer is, I think, aggressive and isn't going to go down well with their present customers. So thank you for that. That's from that correspondent. So have you had this? And if you were that correspondent, would you tell me whereabouts that is? It'd be interesting to know whether or not anybody else has had one of these the kind of action required ones. Use some of the excess tax to restore the horse tramway back to the sea terminal, like they should have done first of all, which was the will of Tynwald. So if they don't do it, are they defying Tynwald? 788. As somebody who pays over £800 tax in a month, I also got a £100 tax bill. As a father of four, I'd like some of the money back, please. It confuses me how we pay £20 million as a 2% health tax has yet to give Manx Care the extra £15 million and also have a surplus of £21 million. Regarding the tax situation, says B, I've had an exorbitant bill the last 2 years, which I'm having to pay off because I'm not a big earner. Tax office can't explain why the bills are so high. I just have to pay. So the fact that there are any questions as to whether or not they should pay the taxpayer back galls me, says B.M. Braddon. I don't mean to tell you what to do, B, but have you been to the tax office and asked them face to face to explain where your tax bills have come from? Have to say they're normally quite good in that. You may have done that already, for which in that case I apologise. But if anybody's having problems with the tax authorities, I'd make an appointment and go and see them face to face. Take all your paperwork and let them explain it. I've just received an action required card for fibre installation. It looks as though they're going to dig up my drive or my garden. Do I have to have fibre? Well, they're getting rid of the copper network. That's all I'll say. So it looks like it's going to be fibre or nothing. On the plus side regarding gardens, has anybody seen the lovely garden on the left-hand side of the mountain road approaching Stella Maris? Beautiful flower displays on the fence and always a Manx flag flying high. Thank you, 762. And also a note in. Oh, Clarissa sent me the copy of the thing. Action required, this big thing from Manx Telecom. Your property has been identified as requiring special work before fibre can be installed. So do you have to chip in for this? I'm guessing those overgrown hedges and lawns will have been left for months. I think it's a lot of laziness, says 614, not being bothered. When contractors like me come to sort it out, yes, £250 is to be expected. Normally, a fortnightly grass cut will be £25. So that will be £50 a month. But if you leave it a long time, it's going to cost more. Hey, Robert's on now. Hi, Robert.
I was down at the Castletown streams, you know, the river that runs down through the Castletown.
Yeah.
Beautiful it was, absolutely idyllic. I'd just like to say that if people don't get out now, they'll never appreciate it, because it's all there for you. If you want to have a walk along any of the old, I'm not too sure about the tram lines and things like that. I think there are too many cyclists on there, but if you go down to some of the rivers and some of the glens, it's all there for you if you want to enjoy it.
Fantastic. Good.
Well, what more do you need?
Well, there we are. In fact, I'm thinking there's a spot called Dumb River somewhere, and I've yet to find it. So
Dumb River.
Apparently, it doesn't make any noise. It's a river that's entirely silent. It's called the Dumb River.
Is it still idyllic, though?
Well, yeah, apparently. Well, I don't know, because I haven't found it yet. I'm told it's there, but if anybody knows where the Dumb River is... In fact, go and have a look, Robert, would you?
I'll try my best. I'll see what I can do for you.
Thanks for calling today.
Bye. No worries.
19 minutes past 12 on Man in Line.
Listening to the lady yesterday about her pension being suspended, no sooner had I finished listening to that than I got a letter through the post saying exactly the same, knowing that I had already submitted the form. And I just wonder if there are other people in the same position.
Anybody? Text, email, call and WhatsApp. And Howard's with us now. Hi, Howard.
Hi, Andy. Just heard you saying about the Dumb River.
Yeah.
Now, if my memory is correct, and I stand to be corrected on this, it's the river that goes, well, it comes down through Silverdale.
Yeah.
All the way down through and under the Alexander Bridge in Castletown.
Right.
Out into the harbour. And that, in my mind, I was always known to me as the Dumb River. As you say, it doesn't make a sound.
Right, and it starts in Silverdale, you say?
Well, it comes down that way, down past Poulton Park.
Right, okay.
That, I've always been told, as I say, I stand to be corrected on it, but I think you'll see there's a fairly largish slack water there just under the Alexander Bridge before it goes into the harbour, and the ducks and swans all hang around there. I know a couple of the chaps many, many years ago from the model boats used to sail their boats down on that slack water.
Right.
But that's what I've always known as the Dumb River. But that aside, just going back to where they were saying about the cost for the fitting of fibre to your premises. In May, I thought, well, ADSL, as I'm on here, it's getting old, it's going to come out in a couple of years' time, and I've had a letter to the occupier. This is in beginning of the year. So I went down to the telephone shop in Douglas, Manx Telecom, and when I was told various aspects of it, I signed up and hoping to get it within a matter of weeks. That was in May, and not heard anything official, but when I looked at the documentation, I think I've mentioned this to you before, the landline, which I want to retain, because we've had it for donkey's years, that automatically defaults on the form in small letters to X directory. So in other words, if you hadn't noticed, if I hadn't noticed that, I know there's not going to be any printed directories, but there will be digital, obviously. But my number would then have disappeared into the ether, although I would have retained it. Also, I had cause to go down just over a week ago to Manx Telecom because I had a problem with my phone. And I mentioned this to the lad in the shop. Hang on a minute, he said, I'll have a look. And he did. He looked on the computer and he showed me what was happening to my request for fibre. And apparently, because we live in an Anaka council, they've had to make application. They're also putting in spot checks for where the cables go and all this. But there was no mention of any of that. And as I've heard since, this could incur a charge to me for the Manx Telecom fitting their equipment. So if I bought a house, say, on a private estate, would I have to pay for the pipework to come all the way from a mains fitting to my house? Which is what Manx Telecom are proposing in the telephone lines.
Wow.
So this is what I'm hearing. And one chap, very early on your programme, said he'd been quoted something like £3,000. A serious amount of money to have fibre fitted to his premises. So how many others have fell foul of this? And why aren't Manx Telecom being more open about it?
Yeah, and this is a government initiative, and the government paid them a chunk of public cash to do
they
all
did,
this.
Tens and, of millions.
And this is supposed to be, you know, for the public, supposed to be for us. So
yep.
It seems like we're getting hammered both ways.
Yeah, and regardless of whether you want it or you don't, they're going to take the ADSL, the copper. They're taking that. Well, they'll probably leave it in. But they're saying to you, well, if you don't do it, it's a veiled threat. If you don't do it, you're not going to have any internet or various other aspects of what we already have. It's like, well, they're doing the same with electric vehicles. You can't buy another after a certain date. You're not be allowed to buy a petrol, you know, a new one. But this is the same thing that's working with fibre optic.
Well, well, well.
So it's time that somebody, and I find it very unlikely to give an honest opinion of what's going to happen with people, or other people maybe want to come onto your programme and found that they fell foul of the same thing. Oh,
I'll tell you what will happen, Howard. We're going to have to pay for it.
Well, we're paying for it already.
Yeah.
There are increased charges for optic fibre over above the ADSL. It's not a lot, but it's continuous. It's monthly, it's annually, and it's the lifetime of the system. So you are indirectly paying for it. And that's what, on the electricity, you're paying a standing charge, the same with the gas, and that allows you for maintenance. But not. They don't charge you in that sense. Once they might do.
Yeah.
But when we got this house here, it had already been fitted with gas, electric, water. So we obviously, or people coming in, didn't have to pay. But now I'm having serious thoughts about putting fibre in and waiting until they threaten me with my ADSL.
And also, just going back to the fact that we aren't having a printed phone book anymore, how do you feel about that?
Well, I'm retained and I've got this year's here, but it's seriously thin compared to what they were previously. And there's a lot of information in there that used to be in.
Yeah.
In the 2024 one. In fact, I got a couple here going back quite a few years where the old phone numbers are still in there. But there's a lot of information in there. And that's not in the new ones in the 2024.
Well, it's a sign of the times, isn't it? And it may be to do with, data protection and what have you, but the old phone books used to be a real source of knowledge. I mean, the fact that you had all the MHKs, names and addresses and phone yep. numbers in there, that was in there, all sorts. And, of course, there was a yellow page as part of it as well. It's just a sign of the times now that you just can't pick up a book and find out stuff that's around you now. You have to go elsewhere.
Well, if you're going digital, which they're proposing to do, you've got to have reasonable access to, or knowledgeable access to what you're looking for.
Yeah.
Whereas you go into the phone book, and they would have, as you say, the yellow pages or even the white pages with different groups on where you could go under, or furniture, garden and anything like that, and you could possibly look for who you're wanting.
Yeah.
If you go digital, you've got to dig deep and it's going to take longer.
Yeah, but, and it's just not, I don't know, there's something about whole, and I like newspapers, and I'm going to be really sad when the newspapers go, which sadly they will, because the financial model isn't working at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that you can sit there with a newspaper in your hands and just flick from page to page and article to article, it's very satisfying. Now, as you say, you're doing it online, and it's fiddly, to be quite honest.
That's what I can't understand. Okay, for travelling, Kindle books and everything, I'd rather pick up a book to read it. And, a physical book as opposed to digital. Plus the fact that we're going to have generations in the future with extremely bad eyesight with looking at screens continuously.
Okay.
But as you say rightly, a newspaper is a comfort.
Yeah.
It is to me. Yeah, we've got a girl, a daughter there, and she never reads newspapers. She doesn't like the feel of them.
Yeah.
You know, but more, as I say, it'd be interesting to, if anybody wants to come onto your program, not advocating anything like that, but I mean, to see if they've had similar problems with the ADSL and the changeover to fibre.
Okay, all right. Thanks, Howard. Good to hear from you.
Okay, thanks, Andy.
Cheers.
Take care.
29 minutes past 12. A note in from Dean who said, don't need Manx Telecom. I've got Starlink, the link to the internet, the satellite, Elon Musk, and I've got a mobile phone. So thank you very much. I've got the internet and I've got my phone. Don't need it. Here's David with us now. Hi, David.
Hi, mate. I'm just going to tell you regarding my solar panels. I've had an eddy fitted yesterday, and now I'm actually shunting power to the immersion heaters in my large cylinder I have in the garage there. So I'm actually making 3.7 to 4 kilowatts through the panels and shunting it into my battery, which is 63% in capacity at the minute.
What's an eddy?
Eddy is a controller that goes, well, it's in my garage there, that controls what's coming in from the panels and where do you want it shunted to. Well, in this particular case, we've got it set up for nighttime. From the battery, I can shunt some stuff into the cylinder to preheat the cylinder ready for the morning's water the next day. It's amazing. I've got the app here. I tell you what, this is like, you should have it on the telly all the time. You can just watch it. But what I was thinking about was now that the Treasury Minister has got this surplus money. I can understand what he's saying, we're going to top up the reserves, but what are we doing with the money we've got to invest in something in the Isle of Man? My own kick is to do with the schools. The schools are all off now. So if we had panels, say more than I've got there, can you imagine what you're shunting back into the system or making the system a little bit more cheaper for people? How many schools have we got on the island? How's Manx Radio's panels doing anyway?
Well, they're there. They haven't been connected yet. We haven't had Manx Utilities in yet. Now, so the panels are now in the roof, but we're not connected. We've got enormous batteries. We have a thing called UPS, uninterruptible power supply. So we've actually lead acid batteries downstairs. So those things can absorb an enormous amount of power. We've not connected them up yet.
But the only what are you doing to control it? Are you going to have an eddy? You don't know that, do you?
No, don't ask me.
And the other thing I was going to say to you, regarding the issue I had with that there's certain people had difficulty in maintaining their gardens there. What I've asked is, I've got an email out regarding community service to see. We used to do it donkeys years ago, and they would help people out that were struggling. People who are living on their own, instead of sending threatening letters out, you know, and I don't know why people just don't knock on the door and say, look, your garden's a bit rough looking, is there any help we can give you? I mean, it used to be all part of the community service, isn't it?
You would think that, and as you say, if there's any, you know, if there's any possibility of community service happening, or if there are any offenders in Jerby who can have some time off their sentence. I mean, people who've just transgressed, I don't mean out-and-out criminals, but people who are just there through circumstance, it would help them and it would help us.
Yeah, and I think we could push that a little bit more, and maybe when I get an answer, or maybe I could suggest to the, because I forget who runs it now. Is it under the Home Affairs Minister, or the governor itself in the prison there? Maybe they would like, maybe if they're listening, and I'm sure a lot of people do listen to you, is they come on and say to him, what can we do to support the community when it's difficult times?
Yeah.
And this is a difference. Things are growing. You look at the amount of cushions that's growing around the Isle of Man on roads and there. I've noticed it now growing between the curb and the pavement. And what it does do then is break the pavement up. But hey ho, DOT haven't got much money, have they?
So how much are you generating again, did you say?
Oh, I've just clicked it off while I'm talking to you. Well, 2 secs. Oh, I can't. I'm 3.5 to 4 kilowatts.
Wow.
65% I'm charging up my battery. I don't know what Eddie's doing because he's not talking to me at the minute. But we're shutting power onto the house. So as soon as I drop the phone, I'll be having more energy in there.
Electrifying. Right? Thanks, David.
See ya.
Bye. 27 minutes before one. Ken's on now. Hi, Ken.
Alexa, turn down. Hi, afternoon. The extra $21 million in income tax.
Yeah.
How much in that is the extra temporary 2% increase that was supposed to be ring fenced for the Manx Care Bunch?
Well, I'm assuming that they've ring fenced that already and this is surplus to that.
Right. Well, why didn't he say that? I know not everybody's got their income tax returns in, but because of ITIP, most people's probably paid their income tax debt. But why didn't he say?
Well, I don't know. But, I mean, I'm assuming this, as you say. I mean, do you think it should go to reserves? Or do you think it should be, we should all get a bit of a dividend? Or maybe just save it till Christmas and send everybody
a
Christmas present?
I think everybody should be repaid something. If the 21 million doesn't include the 2% that was ring-fenced. But I'm just surprised he didn't say it doesn't include the 2%. That's an extra, that's in the slush fund for our friends at Manx Care.
We'll find out. Okay, all right.
Well, who knows? Cheers, bye.
Good to hear from you. I'd like to congratulate Kinraid Builders and an unknown signwriter for the beautiful restoration of Peveril Court, a.k.a. the Bleak House on Ramsey Prom. Used to look awful, didn't it? That building looks stunning now. To credit to everybody, old derelict buildings can be restored, don't have to be demolished. 068 Manx Telecom, regarding the fibre installation, Where no suitable duct exists, it says, you have to install yourself or pay a contractor or pay MT, says Peter. That's what it says you've got to do. With regard to the income tax figures, I'd be very dubious, 373, if they're actually correct. We've recently received a pay-up or else demand for just short of £6,000, which we know couldn't possibly be correct as we make monthly payments. We challenged, we were told it was correct. Challenged again, asked for a breakdown, then we were told it was an incorrect letter that was sent out and we actually owed £3,000. Only then to get an apology to say it's not £6,000 you owe us, it's not £3,000 you owe us, we owe you £3,000.
At Holmes and Davidson Opticians in Douglas, we see more, so you can too. Our advanced eye examinations go beyond the standard checkup, using state-of-the-art Heidelberg 4D retinal imaging and Eidon ultrawide field technology to detect early signs of eye disease before symptoms even appear. We're the Isle of Man's trusted experts in eye health because your vision deserves more than average. Book your advanced eye exam today at Holmes and Davidson Douglas. Clarity, care, cutting-edge technology.
Hi, Liz. I see you've had your garage converted.
We're desperate for more room.
Yes. Come through and have a look. John called Manx Property Conversions. We now have an extra bedroom, but it could be another reception room, kids' playroom or office. They also did our conservatory roof last year. We were so impressed, we got them back to convert the garage.
Wow, I need that. What's their number again?
Call MPC on 450500. That's 450500. Or find them on Facebook at Manx Property Conversions.
From boxing
to badminton,
football
to fencing,
it's the Utmost Community Sports Fun Day, Saturday the 2nd of August at Nobles Park.
From 12 noon to 4pm, there'll be a variety of sports to take part in, whatever your age and ability.
Plus, entrance is free for all, so get the whole family involved and give a new sport a go.
The Utmost Community Sports Fun Day, Saturday the 2nd of August at Nobles Park. Sponsored by Utmost and your nation station, Manx Radio.
This Sunday, it's a special edition of Manx Radio's Chill Out Show, live from Metal Lounge in Peel. Join us between 7 and 9 p.m. for laid-back summer vibes, drinks with a view, and great food available. All served up at this relaxed beach cafe at the far end of the prom. Sink into the sounds, enjoy the sunset, and let the weekend fade out in perfect style. The Manx Radio Chill Out Show on Sunday, the 3rd of August from 7 p.m. at Meta Lounge in Peel, where the vibe meets the tide.
Flocking to the sea.
Check Meta Lounge on Facebook for more.
Crowds of people wait for me.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
21 minutes before one, a note in from Luke who said, I agree with Murray Rothbard. Who's Murray Rothbard? Murray Rothbard wrote a book, I think, in the 80s called The Ethics of Liberty, and the phrase he used all the time was, taxation is theft. Oh, try that with Treasury. Diane's on now. Hello, Diane.
Hello, Andy. I hope you're keeping well, darling.
Very well, thanks.
Oh, good. I rang in because I wanted to inquire. I was looking for something on the internet, on Manx. I believe it was Monday when Carrick Road was closed. Carrick Road, that's the road that goes down past the amenities centre.
Yeah.
Anyway, couldn't find anything, so I went through the Manx YouTube and Manx Telly and all that sort of thing. Can't remember which one it was now. And I came across a video on Manx, and it was, there must have been 100 people. They were coming up one of the inlets onto the Isle of Man.
Yeah.
And there was a police car there. There were other people there. And apparently, the gentleman from Bolton, they had, these people, there was, must have been four or five big boats, these ones that the less than desirables used to come across the channel. And they had come across from England. The gentleman had come from Bolton. They were seeking to be refugees from England.
Oh, I've seen that. It's introduced by a blonde-haired woman, isn't it? She's standing on the beach.
I'm not sure. No, that's not that one. No, this was, because that's by the sea. That's by the beach. This was in a river, like an inlet that had come in.
Because the one I've seen, I mean, the one I've seen is, it's a spoof. The one I've seen, it's a spoof. They're just taking the mickey. It's been generated by artificial intelligence just to say that there are people coming over from England in boats because they're sick and tired of living in England.
Well, they were fed. They said they wouldn't live under, I'm getting tongue-tied, Starmer. They said it's horrendous. Well, I know it's horrendous over there. I got out in good time. I came over in 2007 because I was fed up. I wouldn't be in the EU. But I've never... The women were saying they'd applied to go to live in Spain and that, and but they weren't allowed.
Wow.
See, they're not allowed to go, I suppose... I don't know where you are, and it may be that because we're not in the EU now. Well, we had Brexit without the exit.
Yeah. Well, I don't. I'll be honest with you. I think you've seen a spoof, Diane. I think because if we'd had refugees from Bolton, I'm sure we'd have heard from them.
Yeah, well, this is where that gentleman, the women, as I said, the one woman who spoke for him said they'd applied to go and live in Spain, but they weren't allowed.
All right.
So, I mean, it looked there were police cars there, and I've never heard anybody mention it.
I think we can safely say it's a mickey take, Diane.
Well,
I know.
Where the hell would they get all them boots from?
Oh well, it's developed by artificial intelligence.
Well, I'd be surprised, but, you know, they were speaking, like, genuinely, they were dressed up properly. It must have been done in the hot weather, because, as I said, the ladies didn't have any cardigans or anything on. They had just blouses and nice trousers, and there were men in some boots, women in other boots.
Well, they obviously didn't know about the Manx weather.
Well, I know who has about 70-odd miles across the Irish Sea.
I think we can safely say that it's made up. And if anybody was making their way from Bolton, I think they'd take the boat and not paddle across.
Well, I was sort of shocked. I couldn't believe what I was seeing, and I thought, are they really coming across from England now? Because they want to get out. There's millions leaving.
Right.
They're all getting out. They all can't hack it anymore.
Good to hear from you. Thanks, Diane. Have a good day.
Yeah, and if you find anything out or anybody, one of your listeners, perhaps they'd ring in and tell us.
Okay, we'll find out. Good to hear from you. Thanks for that. The current tax system, 768, says needs an overhaul. The tax-free band is ridiculously low and hasn't kept up with minimum wage or inflation. As a pensioner on approximately $27,000 per annum and no other income, I qualify for the higher tax band and had to pay £250 tax bill last year. This must also adversely affect low-paid workers and low-income families. It's just ridiculous, says H.
Hello, this is Doug Farragher. In conjunction with Manx Radio, I'd like to invite you to join us and learn something about our native Gaelic tongue, the language of man.
Here's Stan now. Hi, Stan.
Hi, Andy.
What's on your mind?
You're wanting to know about the Dumb River.
Yeah, where is it?
It's way out over the fields, over Ballaloch. It's just a drainage ditches they are. They all combine and flow down into Pulvash. You know, down by the 700 headquarters?
Yeah, I do.
Well, if you're down from the start and you want to go to the for a coffee or something, you have to cross over a little bridge.
Yeah.
Well, the Dumb River flows down through there, and it goes down to Pulvash.
Is that so? Right.
Howard was wrong, because the river he's talking about, going under Alexander Bridge, and into the harbour in Castletown is the Silverburn River.
Right. And the Dumb River, you reckon, goes nowhere near the Silverburn?
No, it's just all drainage ditches they are, really. It's not a river.
Right.
They call it the Dumb River. They have to clear it out now and again because it gets built up with reeds and God knows what.
I'm trying to picture this in my head. So I'm standing heading towards Guernsey on the road out of Castletown past the Southern Hundred headquarters. Where's the bridge?
It's down from the start of the Southern Hundred, and you go down to the Southern Hundred headquarters, and you have to cross over a little wooden bridge to get there.
I'm going to have to have a walk down this afternoon, Stan.
Yeah, it flows down under there. There's a load of tributaries all the way along over them fields. It's all the little... They're only ditches, really, that take all the excess water because the whole of Ballylochan around that area was a swamp.
Right. So that's... Oh, I see. So it's a drainage system.
Yeah, it all drains off the land into this and then down to the Pulvash.
Okay, all right. Appreciate that, Stan. Thanks for calling today.
That's okay, Andy.
Good to hear from you. 13 minutes before one. That's my Wednesday afternoon sorted.
Ramsey Garden Centre. For roses, shrubs, climbers, trees and perennials. Or solar lights, stone ornaments and bird baths. There's never been a better time to visit Ramsey Garden Centre. Open 7 days a week.
Fed up sifting through applications and hitting dead ends? We get it. It's not the high-flying life a boss should have. So step away from the desk, make a coffee, and let us take the reins. Orchard Recruitment adds a refreshing change to your hiring process. Getting to know your business and culture before finding you the right people. We won't send you any old CV. We'll cherry-pick. Make your next onboarding fruitful. Visit orchardrecruitment.com.
Douglas City Council presents the Nobles Park Fun Day on Saturday the 2nd of August from noon till 4. There's free fun for all the family throughout the day, from bouncy castles, children's rides, messy play and gaming arcade to charity and car boot stalls, plus local performances and open mic area. There's even family races at 1 and active souls at 2. Find out more on Facebook or visit douglas.gov.im for more information. The Nobles Park Family Fun Day, this Saturday from noon till 4.
This Sunday evening, Manx Radio's Chill Out Show will be live at Metal Lounge in Peel, and we want you to join us there in style. We're giving away an exclusive VIP cabana, including your choice of drinks. To win, join me, Chris Quirk, on Friday afternoon from 3 and play along with our music quiz. And if you get it right, you could be kicking back in the best seat in the house on Sunday evening from 6 till 9 p.m. Want to come along anyway? Metal Lounge will be open to everyone, so call in, grab a drink and be part of the vibe. Don't miss your chance to chill in style with your nation station Manx Radio and Metal Lounge in Peel.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Be careful with the telecom letters, says Peter in Port St Mary. Be careful with the bank's telecom letters. There's a scam going round at the moment. Sam in Peel said, my co-worker and myself both last year got a tax bill for £180. My boss rang and made sure our codes were correct. The tax office couldn't say why we had to pay extra. I got one of those flyers and I didn't appreciate it. This action required now for fibre. Thanks also to the Dumb River goes through the Castletown bypass and out to sea at the Pulvash Farm. Somebody else telling me that on 648. Oh, and Bonzo's on now. Hi, Bonzo.
Hello. Yes, tax. Yes, isn't tax wonderful? No, not really. Depends on how you look at it, though. I mean, tax kind of pays for stuff that we all use, you know, like roads and health services and education and things. I know some people think sort of tax is an optional thing that they ought to pay if they feel like it. But no, that's not the case. But like with a business, if a business goes round and does quite well one year and, let's say 20% more, than its projected, you know, than its projected earnings and projected profits. Do they actually go through their invoices and list of customers and then send them all an email saying, do you know what, we've made 20% more than we thought we were going to do this year, so what we're going to do is we're going to give all of you a slice of the 20% more that we have.
No.
No, that's not going to happen, is it? So I'm not quite sure where people get the idea that just because the economy has done supposedly a bit better and there are more and there are more receipts for income tax because the economy has grown a bit better and people have paid a bit more and such like, but then somehow this is something that should be then automatically refunded. I mean, they forget the fact that A, it will cost money to refund it in the first place, and in the second place, it would only really be taken back again by other by other means, by indirect taxation and stuff. So the actual 21.1 million pounds,
yeah,
is, no, it's an accounting thing. Yes, because when you put it to the liabilities, like, oh dear, we've overspent by 15 million quid on the you know, on Manx Care. So, right, actually, we don't have 21 million. We have 6 million. Yes, but it's the gambler's fallacy. You know, I bet 1,000 quid, I've won 1,500 quid, so I'm up on the deal 1,500 quid. No, you're not. And I think for Taxpayers Alliance to go around misrepresenting it in this way is, you know, irresponsible. And from someone like Josem, who used to be a staffer in the Australian Parliament, you know, working for the then governing party, the Australian Labour Party, you know, I find that lack of understanding of fiscal policy kind of disturbing.
I wonder why they underestimated, though. I mean, are civil servants naturally super circumspect in this? Do you think they underestimated and they've been proved wrong and they're happy to be proved wrong?
Yes, absolutely. What would happen if you overestimated it?
Oh, yeah, you'd be in trouble.
Yeah. So I think a lot of this thing, as I say, is just simple sort of use of facts that are displayed in order to make it look as if we're doing quite well, when actually we're not doing quite well. It's just looking at one side of the balance sheet and using that to say, oh, actually, you're paying too much tax. You should be given all your tax back. That's wrong, I'm afraid. I think the Manx Taxpayers Alliance also advocates what's called flat tax, that everyone should pay, you know, 20%. Which means that the poorer people, you know, people on low to median incomes, yeah, would actually pay more, and richer people pay less.
Hmm.
So, you know, the Taxpayers Alliance, I think you have to remember which taxpayers they are allied with.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Bonzo. Appreciate that.
Okay, then.
Good to hear from you. I mentioned I was going to read you this note I got. I got it yesterday, and it's regarding the former nurses' home in Douglas. And it's from a gentleman who says he's been watching the development with much interest and amusement. And this is all his opinion, so just take it with however many grains of salt you want and take out of it what you want. I understand, said this correspondent, that the building, the new nurses' home, the building costs, excluding the land and exterior structure, amount to approximately £13 to £14 million. Now, that works out about £300,000 to £400,000 per apartment without garage or parking. That's the price of a three-bedroom house in Douglas with a garden, £300,000 to £400,000. Now, based on the quoted rental figures, the anticipated returns 2%, assuming that all are full 100% of the time and ignoring voids, repairs and renewals. So will the tenants be responsible for insurance, management or service charges, and how much are the costs going to be? I also understand the rents will include rates, which I assume haven't even yet been assessed. One wonders how much the directors of MDC earn, how much time they spend on MDC business, and the admin costs to be deducted from the income. Now, Mr. Cannon, Chief Minister, is obviously former Treasury Minister, has described the completion as a delivery milestone, whatever that means. He and his fellow fellow members of Comin obviously haven't done their sums. In my opinion, it's a waste of money. And we promised more to follow without any proper scrutiny. Can anybody prove me wrong? Well, we don't know, because Manx Development Corporation are keeping everything to themselves. Well, presumably Comin know all this, and presumably Treasury knows this, and presumably they know what the financial model is. Now, Manx, the Chief Minister, when he was on last week, said Manx Development Corporation are exhibiting some frustration that more government land hasn't been released, and he did say that's because basically the departments are disagreeing with one another as to whether land should be released, and, you know, I'm not releasing my land until you release your land, and then we'll release land together. It's like the okey-cokey, isn't it? So what's going to happen now? What we do know is a lot of public money has been put into this, and the other thing to say, that the former nurses' home is terrific. I mean, if I urge you to take a look down Westmoreland Road, opposite the old Nobles Hospital, now opposite the Henry Bloom Noble School, it's a wonderful building. It looks absolutely terrific. It could go anywhere. But how much does it cost? And how much? What's the value for money? And what's going to happen in the future? Who's going to go there? How long are their leases going to be? How much are they going to be paying? No car. No garage. No parking. So any thoughts on that, by all means do. And we continue to extend an open invitation to Manx Development Corporation to pop along any time and give us the good news. These threats from Manx Telecom about fibre broadband and its installation charges. What's happening to the £20 million that was gifted to Manx Telecom by the Manx taxpayer towards installation? Well, it was given to them to basically install broadband, install fibre everywhere, fibre broadband, which when it works is fantastic. Thanks to everybody telling me where the Dumb River is now. I'm absolutely fascinated by this. The Dumb River goes through the Castletown bypass and out to sea at Pulvash Farm. Well, thank you for that. I'm a pensioner with a state pension and a small private pension. Nothing has changed since last year, but my tax has gone up by more than £100. Has anybody else had the increase like this? I thought Manx Telecom won the government contract over shore to get fibre to everybody. I use Starlink. It's really fast and works for remote properties too. Thank you for that. Thanks to Chris on the phones today. Remember, next Tuesday, Michelle Hayward, DOI Minister's on. WINT.